Welcome to a very important episode of the Good Glow podcast. So every so often, a very important episode comes along, and I am proud to say that this is one of them. Today, I'm joined by Calvin O'Brien and Terence Power. You probably know them. They're the creators and hosts of the Talking Bollocks podcast. Calvin grew up in Sean McDermott Street, Terence in the Dorset Street flats. But it was after a swim and a coffee in Blackrock when the idea for the podcast came. And I'll let them tell you what happened that day. They had one intention with their podcast, and that was to change people's perception of the North Inner City. That they have done and more. Within hours, the podcast was trending across the country. They haven't looked back since. 300 episodes later, multiple sellout live shows, the lads have not only changed people's perception, but they have become trailblazers, pillars of their community, champions for sobriety. And honestly, I'd be here all day telling you of all the good they do. I have watched their journey. I have loved their journey. And I am honoured to know them. In a world that is paying very close attention to Donald Trump, Andrew Tate and toxic men, Calvin and Terence are flipping the switch and showing young people, especially young boys, that you can change the game by doing good and making a real difference. They are proud of where they come from through and through, and they fly the flag in the best possible way. As I said, I am so excited to share this episode with you, and I hope that you will share it with the young people in your life. This episode of The Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Electrosol, a simple way to keep on top of your hydration. Not just for athletes, Electrosol is for anyone who wants an easy way to stay hydrated, whether you're at work, out for a walk, or just getting on with your day. It can also be used to stay hydrated in hot weather. It's available in three flavors. There's always one that's perfect for you with a mix of key electrolytes like sodium, potassium and magnesium. Find Electrosol at your local pharmacy or visit electrosol.ie for more. Electrosol is a food supplement and should not replace a balanced diet. Always read the label before use. The Talking Bollocks lads, finally on the Good Glow. This, for me, has been coming for such a long time. I love your podcast.
We were waiting on the invite, Georgie.
Well, thank you so much. And I was saying to Calvin that basically for the last couple of seasons, I was like, I need to get the lads on, but I couldn't choose between you. So for the first time ever, there is two guests on the Good Glow.
Lovely. Is this your first ever duo?
This is my first. I'm a bit nervous. I've never interviewed two people at the same time.
Surely it's easier, no?
Well, you two are so brilliant together that I thought that the three of us sitting down to have a chat would be good.
But it wouldn't be the first time neither. Yeah. You were on ours.
I was so honoured to be asked to be on your podcast. I was a little bit nervous coming in for it.
Are you not nervous for all of them though?
When I'm a guest on a podcast, it's so different,
it's worse, isn't it? Doing our podcast, I'm still a little bit nervous. But when I'm on someone else's, I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going to come up. Like Coolio or
whatever.
Hall Martin. You don't know where it might go. Like, do you get me?
I suppose for the Good Glow audience who may not know you guys, where did you meet?
So we met in 2020. During the lockdown, hide the lockdown. I mean, it was bleak times. Terence's cousin ran like a boxing gym and had to be outdoors. We were doing it in like an AstroTurf football pitch in Hardwick Street Flats. And I think everyone just, it was at that stage in lockdown, it was coming into the first winter of lockdown. Yeah. And everyone just had enough of that. They didn't want to get out of the house. And we used to go up there, put sets of boxing gloves on, and everyone used to just punch the head off each other. Yeah. And that's what we were doing. But I tell you, I don't think I've ever been in better shape. That lockdown, because we are constantly out, you're constantly out running, doing like sessions, swimming, all of this kind of stuff just to get out of the house. And I've been outspoken on a load of things about our area because how much of a bad rap it gets in the press. And especially when you interact with people not from the area, they always have this perception of you that like you're bad news. And I'm like, should you not get to know me first before you decide what the outcome is going to be? So I was always outspoken, but then one day Terence decided that he wanted to do a podcast and he decided to ask me, and then I agreed, and 4.5 years later, I'm sitting in front of Georgie Crawford now.
Wow, look how far you've come, just in terms of like selling out Vicar Street in what, an hour last week, but the impact that you have made on your community in Dublin and Ireland, and you're just such likeable people. Do
do you get the nods when you're out and the shouts across the road and things like that from
yeah,
people?
Yeah, it's mad. It's mad. It's worse not in the area.
Yeah.
Because I think people are sick of seeing us. They've seen us for years and years and years. So when they see us now, it's just, all right, Calvin, all right, Terrence.
Yeah.
But it's like when you go out to Tallaght and all, yeah. Ah, yeah. They're like, oh, there's Terry Flower or whatever. It's mad. Like. Yeah. But again, like even we're 4.5 years in and we did only start it just to kind of give a good account of ourselves and the area. At the start, didn't think like it would go any further than that. We were just like, ah, a couple of hundred people might listen. And we'll have a bit of crack while we're doing it. But then it just kept growing and growing. And like that point, remember the pressure that was on us? Yeah. We were like, we have to do another episode now. It was just mad at the start.
Yeah, I remember episode one. We recorded it on a Monday and we said, look, we'll put it out on Thursday. And I went and I was out getting something to eat. And you rang me. You're like, when you're putting that up? And I was like, I don't know if I want it. And I didn't really know Terrence that well. And I was like, I don't know if I want it. So I felt nervous saying that. And he was like, yeah, no hassle. Like, just delete it if you want.
Yeah, I was like, get rid of it. Yeah.
And then I was like, I know I feel bad because like he's had to like give me his time to do this thing. Yeah. We'd already announced we were going to do it. So I was like, right, look, if we put it up, like the bar is low. Do you know what I mean? We're sitting in my ma's kitchen. Do you know, like there's
talking
an echo,
into a phone.
Talking into a phone. I'm at the edit on my phone. Scrubbed the bits like it with an app that I downloaded. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was like, right, look, we're uploading and see how it goes. And we uploaded it. And Friday morning, we were trending number one in the country. And I was
what?
Like,
what? So, how you were trending
on Spotify?
On Spotify.
You clicked into Spotify. They used to have like trending episodes before they changed the charts. And we were trending number one in Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what did that feel like?
Mad.
Pressure.
yeah, pressure. But as well, we were so aware of how bad it was also, even at the time. So it's not like we look back now and go, Jesus, that was atrocious. We shouldn't even post it that. Like, it can only get better. Do you get me? And like the first episode was just a bit of crack and just having a little yap like. And then the second episode, we were like, right, let people know where we're from, what life was like, and got real like emotional at like in the second episode. And then people seemed to love that side of it.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, let's just start getting guests and we run amok.
Wow. Yeah. And it's like, I suppose in your, you would probably think that your community is pretty small, but then to see the next day that you're trending, it had grown outside of the community within a couple of hours, which just goes to show that so many people are interested and needed to hear from normal lads like you, like, and that's what you were giving them. So what was it about Calvin then that you felt like he was the right podcast co-host?
Because we went for, like you said, we were training and we were going out, we were just doing runs and everything. And one day we were at the coming back. Actually, it was the day when the girl grabbed the handbag. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So we went for a run, I think, or a boxing session that morning. And then we went out for a sea swim. And after, we were all in our dry robes and all and whatever. And we went to a coffee shop out in
Blackrock.
And we were in the queue and there was a woman in front of us and there was me, Calvin, and one of our other friends, Ross. And we're just having a yap and we're laughing and joking. And I remember I said something to Calvin. And
you were over kind of at the door and I'm in the queue.
Yeah.
So like, he obviously has to kind of shout over to me.
Yeah.
To like give me the order.
But not like shout, but like raise our voice a little bit. Be like, Calvin, grab us, whatever, you know. But the girl in front grabbed the handbag real close to herself and like walked.
And it was
right
so obvious that like I'm looking at her and she's looking at me and she's doing that in between us. And like I can see it hitting him and he obviously can see it hitting me. Like we're saying, is this actually happening?
What does that make you feel like in that moment?
It triggers you. It really does trigger you because you want to pull her aside and be like, here's who I am. Here's what I'm about. But then you're like, what use is that going to do to anybody?
It's actually a bit degrading. It's like, what, do you really think, because you don't know us, so you just heard us speaking and you heard us speaking and you felt the need to grab your handbag and like walk away from
in
us.
In the middle of a coffee shop?
Like,
we're in
really
the queue in this coffee shop.
Something? Yeah, like, I don't know, I felt mad degraded, but I know I remember looking and we were kind of nodding at each other as if to say, did you just see what she did there? And it was that day we got back into Calvin's car and He dropped me back to my house and we were outside the gaff and we were just in the car having a chat and it kind of stemmed from that. We were like, isn't it mad the way people feel like they need to do that if you speak a certain way or the way we dress? Probably she probably like seen us and was like, they're dodgy just from things she would have seen in the media. Or and we say all the time as well, like, it's definitely not just her fault. Like she, this perception of us, she had to gather from somewhere.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's from the media. you know. So the conversation started from that, and then we just went off on a whole, we were in the car for 2-3 hours just chatting, and then a friend was in the car and he was like, Darren's, ask him. And I was like, ask him what? I'd always been speaking about wanting to start a podcast with someone. And he was like, if you still done a podcast, I'd definitely listen to that.
Yeah, imagine if you had done a podcast of that conversation you had in the car that day.
Well, what,
yeah.
Well, remember, we were saying, like, so when we recorded episode one, it was so, so terrible. But it's because we were nervous, our first time talking into anything. But if we had a naturally recorded that conversation in the car,
it was gold.
I genuinely think it was gold. Like, you know, because even I think episodes 2 years down the line are still terrible because I was still so nervous talking into a mic and trying to get used to that. It just took so long to get used to. But off camera, the conversations were so much better. And I think that conversation right there would have been perfect.
Yeah. But I think when you're in a really good conversation, and that's what I get from your podcast, is I can tell how interested you are in your guests. And then that almost grips me. So I was listening to the guy, the Hyrox guy, Sean. That was such a brilliant conversation because you were both so invested in him. Yeah. And then I was getting really interested and I wanted to know more. And he's amazing. There's so many people around who aren't famous in inverted commas that just have amazing stories. And they're the stories that you wanted to tell on the podcast.
Yeah, they're our favourite episodes. We always say it's like there's an element of surprise in an early because like, if we say, like, we're going to have Anthony Joshua on tomorrow, we know he's going to be media trained. We know he's going to have a good career to talk about. But when you get somebody in like Sean Noble, who, from the outside looking, you probably just go, oh, he's just that lad who does Hyrox. He has a world record. That's brilliant. But when you hear his backstory, it's the element of surprise nearly when they're so good at speaking in front of a mic and a camera. And it nearly takes us by surprise as well because I completely understand how hard it is to sit there and talk.
Yeah.
But when somebody like him comes in, you don't know how it might go. But then he's absolutely brilliant. They're the episodes that I love the most.
Yeah, they're
we literally
gold.
Had this chat downstairs because she was asking about the guests.
Yeah.
And I was like, if someone says to me, I'm going to listen to your podcast for the first time tomorrow, who do you recommend? I don't give them a big name. I give them a name that I know will grip them in. Yeah. Because if you're willing to give a big name a chance, you'll always give them a chance.
Yeah.
The one I always go back to is Tony O'Reilly.
Brilliant.
I remember like sitting there absolutely gripped on his every single word. I didn't know what way the story was going to go. I didn't know how it was going to end, even though the fellow was sitting in front of me.
And what was he? What was his story?
He was a gambling addict who got really, really into the depths of addiction. And the thing about gambling addiction is it's invisible. You can't see that somebody's suffering from it in an industry that's not really regulated. And I don't really want to get too far into it in case people want to go back and listen, but he worked in a line of work that he had access to a big quantity of cash and he was tapping into that to feed his addiction. And it just goes from there.
And then he went on the run and there's so much more.
Like,
it was like a Netflix joke, George. Help me, hands were sweating.
Okay, I'm going to link that in the show notes for people if they want to go over after this and have a listen.
Such a powerful episode, Georgie. And I always recommend that because if you'll give him a chance of our recommendation, you'll give someone else who you're relatively unknown a chance, and then you'll always come back around to the Georgie Roberts who you know.
Yeah,
Georgie will always get a chance. You know what I'm trying to say? So we thought back to the inspiration and on the guests who has gone through something and now can offer people a lesson or some inspiration, and that comes from areas like ours, and that's how it goes, and you'll see that in the first 15-20 episodes. All the people are from areas like ours.
Mm.
Yeah. And then we realised, well, we're actually hitting a wider audience now. So we need to branch this out more. And then naturally as well, you'll grow. But then the audience grew. And then we were getting bigger names. And like, I even remember the day, Philly McMahon, I think it was like episode 11 or something. Yeah. I remember like sending him a message and being like, well, look, we tried. And then he wrote back and I was like, oh my, and like ringing him like, Philly wants to come on the podcast.
Yeah. When you get that big break, it's important, isn't it?
Well, We know Barry Keoghan. We know Barry Keoghan. He's from our area, like in town. So like, I wouldn't have been like friends with him, but I knew of him like before the acting. Calvin would have been friends with him. And when we started the podcast, Barry was on Twitter and he shared the podcast for us. And he was like, look.
Yeah, without asking. Like, we didn't say to him, we just did it.
We just went on Twitter. And then we had a message request on Twitter and we clicked into it and it was Liam Cunningham. What does he play in Game of Thrones?
I don't know who he is in Game of Thrones, but he's big in Game of Thrones. I never watched it.
No, me neither.
But we had to play it off. We were like, oh, Game of Thrones was Little Liam. Yeah. Never seen it. But Liam ended up texting us saying, Barry recommended you, and if you ever want me as a guest, like, oh, come on. We were like, what? So we got him on inside like the first 10 episodes, and we were like, right, we're off to the races here.
This is huge. Yeah. And Barry Keoghan, like, is everyone so proud of him in your area?
Yeah, Jesus.
Like, I think it's nearly gone beyond that now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Barry, like, he speaks for himself at these days.
Yeah.
Whereas if you went back even 10 years ago, when Barry was in Love, hey.
Yeah.
People were like, that's Barry, and people were harping on about him, screaming from the rooftops. Whereas now, I think people have kind of like even killed that and be like, we don't need to shout for him anymore.
Mm.
He speaks for himself now. But like, that doesn't mean we're not as proud of him still. It's just that they don't need to harp on
about
it.
Just kind of happens, doesn't it? It's like,
plateaued, you know what I mean? It's like, right, we made it now. Grant.
Yeah, we know he's great. We don't need to keep going on about it.
Yeah.
And also, if he comes back home, you know, he's one of us.
Yeah, like, of course.
I do see him when he comes home because his brother is in a relationship with a neighbour of mine, and you'd have seen him the odd time, but it's just like he'd just be standing there, like, do you know what I mean? It's nothing. Like,
but do you feel like that, obviously Barry Keoghan is Hollywood A-lister now, but people are shouting for you guys the same way in your community. Do you feel that?
I feel like it's nearly similar to Barry, and Jesus, there's no comparison with Barry, but I'm saying similar in the sense of like when we first started the podcast, no matter how shit even we thought the episodes were in terms of the sound and stuff like that, the community just got behind it. You could see that when it was trending number one, and it was like you can nearly feel the whole community constantly texting, constantly sharing every day, and then it grows to like people outside of the community, and then now it's nearly at a plateau. It's nearly like people in the area just kind of go, oh yeah, they're the lads off talking bollocks. Like,
they don't need to share that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they listen. But like, that's already...
They did their job.
Yeah, essentially, But like, even...
And they're at all the shows. Like, every live show, you look out and you just see everyone, you know, from town. You're like, right, it's going to be trouble.
Yeah. I was out getting lunch yesterday, and I bumped in one of the lads, and he's like, me missus got me tickets to your live show. I was like, oh, lovely. I'll see you there. He goes, we go to all of them. And I was like, what? You go to all of them? But like, obviously, you don't see him there because like he didn't come with my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was like, you know me and you're going to all my shows. Like, what? Yeah. This is mental. Like,
but you know the way what you were saying there about that lady like pulling her in her handbag, and then you guys come out and you're have your podcast and you're having real conversations and you're trending and people from your area are getting behind you, because the magic that I suppose has been kept in, or no one could see from the outside world, you know, and that's why everyone's so proud of Barry as well, is because you're like, okay, now they can finally see that there is amazing people exist in our community, you know, and from that lady pulling in her handbag, whatever she's been brainwashed to think, that's not real. Like, that's not true.
Yeah.
So with that, does it come responsibility?
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. But I was trying to think about this a few weeks ago. I was like, where did the responsibility nearly start? Because I remember at the start, it was like, at the start of the podcast, it was just like a joke, kind of. It was like, get people into the area and let's show the world that we're all great and have a laugh while we're doing it. But then there was a certain point where I remember coming into the other podcast and being like, people are really listening to us here. Like, like, we have a responsibility now.
And what you don't talk about gets highlighted.
Yeah.
So like, you didn't talk about this. Oh, right, you can't just say everything is great, because when it goes bad, you're going to have to highlight that as well and be like, this is why this went wrong.
That's the responsibility.
And that's what you don't, like, we didn't sign up for that. That just, it came with it.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and that's when it got hard. That's when you're like, right, we need to be careful now and we need to be more strategic. Do you know what I think it really did happen for me was when we had Nicola Tallant on. That was a sliding doors moment for me. That's when I realised you'd want to book up when you're coming in here, because this is a professional who you're trying to criticise and can back up whole work with stats and figures.
Yeah.
Whereas you just have a perception.
Mm.
And again, that's where it flipped, because we went in with nearly an arrogance against Nicola, and Nicola knew what she was coming in for, like, but we wanted to sit down and be very critical of Hull Woke, because we feel like Hull Woke is what makes people like that woman that day assume that people
So Nicola Tallant, she has the crime podcast and she's talking about certain people
people and areas and stuff like that, and we feel like dimensions of the inner city.
Yeah.
Like, you nearly think, ah, they're all scumbags in there.
And the warden that's yours as well. Mm. It's like dehumanizing warden, and it jeopardizes the reputation of the area.
Yeah, because like I would listen, and that would never have even occurred to me, because I'm not listening to it with the same ears.
Yeah, close.
And exactly, you know no different, Georgie. I know people in my personal life the same, who they listen to this or they read these headlines as if it's Hollywood. It's not real. And I'm like, I live there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I know the person that's in that article. I know that person who's died. I know this person who's before a judge now.
Yeah.
Like, these are real people. Yeah. And from the outside, it's easy to say, oh, well, like, they're involved in crime. And you're like, well, let's look at the individual. You know what I mean? Yeah. You may have walked past them and you didn't even realise this today. So when we had Nicola on, we tried to be very critical of her.
Now, she came in knowing that we had a chip on our shoulder and that we wanted to be critical of her work and put things to her. She came in knowing that, obviously not specifics, but she came in knowing that we weren't going to sit down and go, oh, Nicola, you're the best in the world, well done. We brought her in and gave her flowers and saying, you are the best crime journalist out there, but here's what we think you do wrong and here's where we got a bad rap. If you ask me honestly now, looking back, she probably...
Oh, she skilled us.
Yeah, she skilled us. Like, we were like, you were wrong for this. And she's like, well, this happened because of this. And you're like, oh,
okay. And we're like, you never write positive about our area. And she was like, there's a positive article about the area. And I was like...
But that's, for me, that I agree with you in a sense of that was the biggest learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we were never going to bring her in. And, like, people are like, I hope you said this to her and called her this. And it's like, no, that's not what it's all about.
Yeah.
Let's come in and have an adult conversation and... let us be critical and let her answer.
Yeah.
And vice versa if she wanted to.
Wow.
But it was a big learning curve, that one.
That's when I knew it was serious, though. That's when I knew it was like, you can't just have someone in, have a laugh, or come in and do whatever you want, because they're an individual, they're the guest. They have their own reputation and line of work to back up.
Yeah.
So you better be ready for that. And she skilled us.
Yeah, and I love that you have so many different types of guests. Like, you've had Micheál Martin.
Yeah.
You've had Nicola Tallant. Mm. Like, tell me what you had in common. Like, I know what you had in common and why you're such good pals. But what was it, just for people listening, that you felt like you were so connected straight away?
We witnessed and in some cases experienced the same things.
Mm.
And we're going to be judged the same way no matter what. And what I felt with Terence was he was at this turning point in his life where he wanted something and he had that desire and the hunger to do something. And I was like, if he throws his hand to this could do well. Even though the bar was low, don't get me wrong, but yeah. I mean, I knew he wanted to do something where it wasn't going to be a waste of time. It wasn't going to be one of those, you know, when people are like, come on, we book a holiday. And the next day you're like, right, you're booking them flights. And they're like,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't one of them. I knew like this was happening, you know, and I was like, right.
And Calvin, you chose sobriety in your life.
Yeah.
And Terence, you chose it eventually too, but it was a much tougher road for you.
Yeah.
I think that kind of played a part as well, didn't it?
In
how the podcast went about.
Big time, yeah. Because as well, I was in addiction for a few years and then I found recovery. But when I first found recovery, we started the podcast about 6 months after I found recovery. When you're first sober, you want to tell the world. So I remember even in the early episodes, I'm like, I'll never drink, I'll never do drugs again. And, you know, this is the best thing ever, being sober. I was just a bit caught up at the time, you know, but I wanted to tell people that I'm sober now, you know, because so many people would have remembered me being nuts, like, and being kind of hopeless, you know, and trouble and things like that. So on the podcast, I wanted to talk about it to be like, if I can do it in my mid-20s, you can as well, because so many of my friends are still to this day even suffering from addiction, like with drink and drugs, and a lot of people don't get out. Where I felt at the time, I'm at the getting out of this, and I really believed I'd never drink or do drugs again, so I wanted to sing it from the rooftops to give hope. But there was also the sense of, I know people are going to listen to this, and anybody who remembers me from being like hopeless and trouble and that kind of thing, I want them to know that like I'm actually all right now. So there was like, there was a couple of different reasons why I wanted to openly speak about it, but yeah, it was more so just to give a bit of hope, I think. But in reality, like at the time, it was so new to me, sobriety, that I just believed because I got so far, which was a couple of months. Like, there was times when I couldn't go a day without using drugs. So because it was a couple of months down the line, I really believed I'd never even want to use again. When eventually you hit bumps in the road and things don't go your way, you slip, but you have to get back on the horse. But yeah, so...
But that naivety almost probably carried you through the toughest days.
100%.
Because you're actually clueless as to how hard it is.
100%. I always think like that, Georgie. I always think like, I had no clue how hard this was going to get. Or how hard that should have been. Like I said, the naivety. Like at the start, I was just like, yeah, I'm sober. That's mad. Because like... There was a bit of advice given to me when I first started. I was like, don't count the days or anything like that. Just, you need to just kind of roll with it. Where I felt like when I first got sober and I found recovery, like counting the days was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
I was like, that's 4 days. Then a week, 2 weeks, a month. You're like, right, I can take on the world. I can do anything. And when we set up the podcast, we were 6 months into it. So I was like, grand. Gonna tell the world it's lethal. Just everyone gets sober. It's easy. It's grand. But then obviously there's slips and there's bumps and there's, which again, we were open with. Look, I've had a relapse. Like, I've had 2 relapses on the journey since 2020. And I've spoke about them on the podcast. And again, it's like people can relate to that kind of thing. People nearly want to hear, they don't want to hear you had a relapse, but people nearly just want to hear you talking about how bad things can get.
Mm.
Because there's so many people in that situation. And you go, things got bad for him. He's back on the horse again. He's back doing his podcast. He's not just... So maybe I can as well. So just, for me, it was always just to give that little bit of hope.
Yeah, and then not to like portray a perfect recovery, because that obviously isn't possible.
Isn't the case. Yeah, where at the start, I probably would have been like, oh, yeah, it's great. Do it. It's all right. Like, and then when you hit them bumps, like, I was like, I need to talk about this to let people know it can get tough. Even today, those hard days, like, it's not like as if you'll never get to a place, and I know I'll never get to a place in my life where I'm like, I won't think of drinking or drugs again.
Because
it can hit me at random times, it can hit me in hard times, it can hit me in the great times. Like, things could be going great, we could do a live show, I'm on top of the world, and then I'd be like, imagine now if I could just have a drink and do drugs and celebrate this, but I can't, and then boom, it's hitting you then. Like, so it's just about realising things are going to get hard, but being sober for me is the only way, because like, God knows where I'd be if I wasn't.
Yeah, I remember talking to Mark Meegan, and he said something really interesting to me that really helped me understand it. He was like, you know, I'd say to myself, oh, I'd love to just go and have one drink. And he's like, but then I had to... actually understand that there is no mark with one drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that person has never and will never exist.
Mm.
So that's what keeps him on the straight and narrow. And what is this? I don't know if this is a stupid question, but what keeps you sober every day?
Well, firstly, the person who I was like nasty. You know, like when I talk to friends and family now who obviously were around me when I was drinking and using drugs, like, we can laugh now, but they're like, my God, like, you were a blatant tragedy. Like, I was a disaster. Like, if I have one drink, it's just like all hell breaks loose. And you don't know where I might end up, how long I'm going to be missing for, who I'm going to be fighting with. You just, it was just chaos all the time. So there's remembering who I am when I drink and use. But there's also, I've so much going on in my life now, so much positive things going on in terms of the podcast. Like, I know if I have a drink today, I'm probably going to go missing for a few days. I'm definitely not going to the podcast next week. And there's a chance that I might not stay on the right track after. So the two slips that I've had on this journey, both times I've had a few drinks, I've done drugs, I've went missing for 2 or 3 days, then I've come back around. And the urge to use for the next couple of weeks has been significantly higher than it has been when I hadn't slipped, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I know with that urge to use again when I'm at the using, there's a chance that like the next time I might not be able to get back on the horse because it's so strong. I don't know how to fully explain the feelings, but there is these weird feelings that feel nearly physical, more than mental in your body, that are like, go and use, like, and these horrible, it's so strange. Like, so it's just trying to understand and remember the person who I am when I'm drinking, you know, is a bad person, and all the things that I have to look forward to really keep me on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, you know? It's so, that's such a good answer. And like, where do you think the strength comes from? Is that like, literally, you've seen the world, or like, I know you went to like Jerry's show and you were blown away by Jerry. And is it like kind of understanding the world and how we are a little bit more?
Yeah, of course. There's so many things. Like, I feel like I only really woke up 2-3 years ago. Like, I was in such, like, even it's down to the little things that people think is funny about me, in terms of like, I've never seen really any films, or I don't know what's going, like, Tala to me, like, 3 years ago was like the furthest place in the world.
Yeah.
When I was like 22, I'd been on like one flight ever in my life, so like, I'd never seen, like, I was just like not awake, like, do you get me? And I feel like in the last few years I've really woke up and just started understanding things a little bit better and got more curiosity about loads of things. But I think, like, as well, there's a reason why, as well, why I want to stay sober forever, and it's because I've seen, so like, I'm like, when I look at so many people in my family and in my friends group and their families, so many of us have and had a parent who was drinking and using drugs, and we understand the life that we all had, because we all had a similar life. Like, we all grew up in poverty and this chaos, and drinking drugs were around you all the time. And I always try and think, like, when I have kids, I never want them to go through that. You know, like, what me and so many people in my area went through because of our family's addiction issues, none of us should have went through it. None of us should have seen half of the shit that we've seen. And, like, some people hear my story, like, in obviously a lot more detail than I'm using now, and they think, Jesus Christ, like, that's horrible. And I'm like, I want to see the person 3 doors down.
Yeah.
If you think I had a bad, and another 2 doors down from them. So, like, I understand how bad so many of us had it. And I never want my kids or any kid to ever witness that or go through that.
Yeah. Are you, do you think you're the generation that's breaking the cycle?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Breaking it, yeah. No, it's not completely eradicated, but breaking it, definitely. Like, I'd have conversations with my mates now. It's weird, like, we're at this stage in our lives as well. It's like we haven't been friends for the last 10 years, as if, like, because we're all getting into our 30s now. And when I talk to my friends, it's like, we weren't together every day in our 20s, even though we were. And we're talking about stuff that we went through, and we're talking about what life was like when we were growing up. And, like, it's great to see some of them. They're at that mature emotional level where they're like, this happened to me and that was wrong, and I used to do that and that was wrong. And I'm like, no one even had to tell you that. Like, you just, that's happening for you yourself. And they're aware of how to correct their mistakes, and they're aware of how to not make them again, which is really important. Do you know what I mean? It's one thing saying, yeah, that was wrong, but it's another thing never to do it again. You know what I mean? So we're sitting down and we're having these conversations now, and it's great. And some of them are like, look, I'm going to go and I'm going to get this looked at, and I'm going to get help for this, and I'm getting help for that. And you're like, no one even told you about these options. You've done that yourself off your own initiative. So imagine now their younger brothers, other sons, other daughters, or whatever, the next generation after us can look up to this and be like, well, they did it in their late 20s, early 30s. They may not even make their mistakes in their 20s and teenagers at all.
Yeah.
Never mind correct them, they might just not make them.
A short break to thank Electrosalf for supporting the Good Glow this season. So what do electrolytes do? It's such an important question. They help you stay hydrated by helping your body absorb and retain water, keeping you energized and refreshed. They simply replace fluids and essential electrolytes lost due to exercise, hot weather, travel or illness. Electrosalf is available in flavors like blackcurrant, lemon and raspberry, and orange. It's vegan friendly, gluten free, caffeine free, and GMO free. You can find even more information on electrosalf.ie.
We can focus a lot on childhood trauma, and, you know, it seems to be like such a big topic at the moment. But, like, what were the fun times like growing up?
There's so many, but
do you know what else? Do you know what's mad? Because when you talk about them, it makes you sound like such a scumbag, doesn't it? And you're like,
yeah.
But at the time, it was harmless. And to me, if you're not directly impacting somebody and making their life bad, you're doing nobody any harm.
We were only directly impacting each other.
Yeah.
Like, we used to play games like,
and putting yourself in danger.
We hear, like, sometimes I hear somebody telling about their childhood, and they're like, yeah, and we were on the swings and we done this thing and that thing, and I'm like, that's so far. Like, we used to play a game called Stone Wars, where you just get stones or bricks, and you would stand at the middle block, we'd stand at the other block, and we'd throw them at each other. And like, we're like eight with like smokes hanging out of our mouths, throwing stones at each other, and it was the best fun in the world. There's so many stupid little things that were like so good at the time.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you was missed out. Like, yeah, we used to go swimming down in the Liffey, and like, you'd hear people being like, do you know, they do a report on the water on the Liffey, and I'd be like, we used to swim in that willingly, like.
Yeah.
And I'm nearly sure some of my friends couldn't swim. Oh, genuinely. Yeah, yeah. They'd be like, I can't swim, and they're coming with us, and yeah, jump, like, they jump in off a bridge, but try and get as close to the ladder as possible. Yeah, 20 metres away from that ladder.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't swim, you're going down. But like, at the time, like, we were 14. And I'm thinking, like, we're adults, like, we're old enough to make this decision. But then you're going home or whatever, and I'm like, if I had a 14-year-old and he said, we're going down to swim in the Liffey, not a chance, pal.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's
no chance.
Crazy stuff. Like, even, like, we'd bunk into places, you know what I mean? At, like, stadiums or concerts in, like, the Troy Arena and stuff. And people would look at you and, like, they'd be giving you abuse, like, scumbags. And I'm like, but who are we harming? Nobody.
Yeah.
We're just
yeah.
having a bit of crack, you know what
wow.
I mean?
So what's the plans for your future? Like, when you think about, like, the future of the pot, is that a scary thing? Because when Jamie, yeah. my partner, asked me, partner in my business, but husband in my house, when he asked me, like, okay, so, like, let's have a conversation about the year. Like, let's talk about next year. It's just, like, so overwhelming, isn't it?
I agree. Again, I don't really even like to think about that. Like, I'm like, obviously there's goals. There's like, play the biggest arenas that you can play in. Do the show in the biggest arena you can do it in. Just for a big celebration of the podcast. Eventually, that's the aim. Like, but other than that, in terms of like, the podcast itself, is I like what we're doing. You know, like we were chatting about some of the guests. You say like, Coolio and Nicola Tallant and then Tony O'Reilly and Sean Noble. It's like, all so different. So it's not like I go over every week and I'm like, oh, I have to talk to another whatever field they're in, and
yeah.
it's the same every week. I'm going over there next week and I'm going, have we a comedian on this week, or do we have that gambler or this expert on? It's constantly new, it's constantly different, and you're constantly learning. So like, I just want to keep doing that with the podcast. And then as well, we do the bonus episodes where it's like,
there's
there's nothing serious.
Yeah.
It's like the listeners send us these, I don't know how many emails every week, and Owen will just read some of them out to us. And they're so stupid, but we get some crack out of it. You know, it's like, Tanya from Tala asked you this question. And we're like, Tanya from Tala. And we just have fun with it, you know what I mean? So like, I think people are probably listening to this now having a clue who we are, going,
yeah,
Jesus, these are just advocates for the inner city, whatever. But the podcast isn't all that, you know. Like, there is some serious talk, of course, but most of the time I'd nearly say it's just a bit of crack, like.
Yeah,
you
know,
don't go
I mean?
In with the intention of it being serious. Like,
never.
let's get people crying here.
No.
We just ask people our story, and if it goes the same way, it goes the same way. But like, you mentioned Mark Meegan, he couldn't have came from a more privileged area.
Mm.
But he will have a story that relates to somebody who comes from an area like ours that ended up in addiction as well.
Yeah, I remember, like, I feel like Mark Meegan almost had imposter syndrome with his addiction, because he was like saying to me, I'm so privileged that I almost feel like I don't have a right to have this disease.
And it's the self-awareness he has for that that's what got my respect off the bat, before I even met the fella, before I even agreed to come on. The fact he was so self-aware to be like, statistically, I shouldn't be in this position.
Mm.
And I was like, that's class.
It was one of the most important things that I read his book when I was over in Thailand. And I remember reading a part in the book where he explains his privilege and he goes through it. And then he says, but I'm in this situation. And I remember just thinking, like, a lot of people try and portray when they do go down a bad road that, this thing happened. He's like, no, this shouldn't have happened to me.
Yeah.
But I'm here, like, and now I need to deal with it. And I remember just going, like, what a man. I thought his book was really powerful. And I think just his acknowledgement of his upbringing and how he was looked after his whole life. And still, that's what I think is powerful about his message. He's like, I had all this good shit going on for me and I'm still here. Yeah. So anyone can get it. Just be careful. Like, don't drink and drugs will lead you down a bad road.
And then on the flip side of that, we've people who are like, I came from all this bad shit.
Yeah.
And then they got on to achieve something brilliant. Mm. You know, so like, we're really aware of that. If you have a good story and there's lessons to be learned from it, you will make a great guest for our podcast and that people will learn. And like, I've had
we
people,
always laugh that we do.
Of
say,
course, no, we have a great laugh.
If they have a bit of prison time behind them and all, yeah, George, it'll be better.
Yeah. When you're suggesting a guest, it's like they went through this and they done this and this happened and we're like, great, do they have convictions? Because they've checked all the boxes then.
That's a talking bollocks checklist.
But I mean, like, we're aware that there's people listening to our podcast and they're learning lessons from it and you're like, whoa. And do you know what else I really love? I love talking about the podcast to people. Well, especially if they say to me, like, I love your podcast. And you're like, thanks very much. And they're like, I love this person and that person because of that. And I'm like, this is class. But going back to the bonus episodes, like, people who we've never met, they don't know us, but they only know us from the podcast. Mm-hmm. And whichever way they listen, they could be listening, driving to work, in the gym, on a walk, chilling out in the gaff, wherever it may be. They decide, I'm going to write them lads an email. And they know aspects of our life. They know how they, like...
They know our dog's names.
Yeah, but they know, like, if I say this, it will trigger...
Mad.
It will trigger Terrence.
Yeah.
And then I'll be... Like, they know.
Yeah.
And so I'm they like, know so much about how you get
your... And do they know that if their name is Tanya from Tala or Claire from Cabra,
the alliteration will get me. The alliteration will trigger me,
We love yous instantly.
Yeah.
But if it's O'Shane from Bleeding Maid, well, like, fuck off.
Put a bit of effort into it.
Does he ever get his letter read out? Anyone from outside of Dublin?
No, you will. Oh, anywhere. In the world,
she's got more letters than anyone.
Yeah, there's a fella, remember your man from is it Glasgow or Edinburgh in Scotland? Yeah. And he has like a field review page. I don't even think he had a question. He's like, will you just shout this out?
No way,
gotta shout
fair play to you, mate. Like, but just for a word of advice to anyone who does end up listening and wants to write in, if your name is say Carl and you live in Fisbury, just say you're from Cabra.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Just for the sake of the question,
yeah, we'll respect you that little bit more.
Would you ever, Terrence, do you think, write a book? Like, so when I read Mark Meegan's book, I was like, there's a lot of things he could have left out that he obviously made the decision to put in. Do you think that you could write a book like that?
I want to. I don't feel like I have. How would I even word that? Like the education to write a book, what would I say about that? What's the word I'm looking for, Georgie?
I don't think you need an education to write a book.
No, I don't mean the education, but like, I don't think I'm smart
the
enough.
Capability?
The capability to write a book myself, and I don't really trust having a ghostwriter, like, so they sit down and you're just telling them everything and they put it. Because I don't trust that they're going to put in my words.
But you could probably
like,
say
it. Oh, me dad. I'm like, make that. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. So I'm like, I've been offered it a couple of times. I don't feel like it was the right time at the time.
Yeah.
It was something that I nearly verbally agreed to. And then when I stepped back, I was like, just give this a few more years. I'm in no rush to do anything. Because I think like with a memoir or something like that, you just want to make that one and done. You don't want a part two in your life. You know what I mean?
You don't want to say, I wish I wrote this a few years later.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think like in my plans, in my head, I'm like, things are going good now. Give it 3, 4, 5 years. And then put it all in.
Yeah. This is the good glow. And we do talk about how we get our glow sometimes. And you're both gorgeous and glowing.
Sorry, Georgie. Relax now.
Georgie.
Sorry. I know I'm married. I can't help myself. But tell us about, like, how do you keep yourself well?
Weight training. Boxing probably twice a week. And I'll be getting back to football once my shin's healed. So I've loads going on. I'm always training, yeah.
And why is that for your mental health that you do?
I swear to God, Georgie, I'm one of these people that I can't emphasize enough how much physical activity is good for people. Like, it's a non-negotiable for me. People don't realize it's that release of energy is so good for your head. And it's actually flipped on me. So if I grew up in the morning and didn't go to the gym, it'd eat at me. Mm. So it actually affects my mental health now if I don't go.
Yeah.
So
it's a good problem to have that, but
no, it's great because the one thing, like, without sounding cheesy and you want to break it down, your hardware will look after your software and then the software looks after the hardware, so the physical activity you do will help you mentally, and then if you're good, in a good place mentally, that can in turn leave you in a good place physically. So it's that finding that balance, getting up, getting active will look after your head. And it's, I know there's a lot of science, the endorphins and the dopamine hit and everything, but like, if you're feeling sluggish and lethargic in your body and physically, it's going to affect you mentally.
Yeah.
You know, it gets you cloudy, gets you aggro, you're more snappy. Whereas if you just go and one thing going to the gym does for me, I have a structure. I go up in the morning, do the school run, go to the gym, go to work, after work do the podcast, and that's me. I'd be probably the easiest person in the world to talk or kidnap, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
have the same
yeah.
routine. But I mean, like, but that's what works for me, and that's how I do it. And yeah, and like some people who say, geez, you're flat. I'm like, I'm not. If I stopped one of those things, I'd go off, like I'd be wobbly then. Like yeah. that's the routine. Like I know where I'm going to be.
Yeah. With the responsibility that we were talking about with the podcast, what do you do when you get the messages in your DMs from people who are in a bad way?
It's actually very scary. Because I'm like, why? I'm just me personally now. I was like, out of all the options in the world, you've come to me. So I'm like, whoa, like, you know, like that bears on me. And I'm like, I've had encounters where I've got bad messages and I've actually had to reach out to my partner and be like, look at the message I'm actually getting here. And like, I'm shaking and I'm panicking and I've had to follow up on it.
What Calvin is getting at there with them messages, like there's been some really heavy ones where like someone would probably suggest something in the message that they're going to harm or something. And they're tough to deal with because like they've listened to us and they've heard us probably mention that we've struggled in a certain department before. They're struggling with that now and they're reaching out. I understand they're only looking for advice, but when it's so deep, sometimes you're like, I bet I word everything correct here. Someone's going to respond. Yeah. Like, so I think that's where he's getting at. But I see it as a fucking privilege sometimes to be able to be a voice to somebody. It doesn't matter who they have in their life. Let's say they have nobody or they have so many people and they still came here. I have that sense of like, they feel like they're safe enough to come here. It's a weird kind of thing. There's a privilege to it, but then there's a side where that's like sometimes it can be so deep that you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm very careful.
And then you want to be conscious of it as well, that like I'm just human at the end of the day and so is Terry. And
yeah,
I think that's what we're just trying to get across. We're literally just two youngblets. You know what I mean? So like,
just say it's other people nearly that put you kind of on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get fucked up over that, Georgie. Like I'm in town and someone will go, oh my God. I'll go, don't do that. Yeah. You're mad thing. Yeah. Don't do that. That's embarrassing. Do you get me? Yeah. Like we're in the middle of Henry Street here. Yeah. You're going on like at seeing Justin Bieber. Relax, like.
You are there, Justin Bieber.
No, Georgie, I'm not having it.
But like the fact that someone's able to reach out or feels like they can, that's what you've created with your podcast.
Yeah, I love that.
You know?
Did you read the email? More than likely not.
No.
Terence gets CC'd in emails and I have to respond for him. It's mad.
But when I was organising this podcast, I knew I had to come to you, Calvin.
Yeah. Sure, even you sent me on the address. I sent it to him and he went to the wrong one.
Yeah.
And in the address, it's like, not this one. And he went to that one. But there's a girl who's doing a final year project in college on our podcast. And I'm like, why? But she has it broken down and she has comparisons and I'm like, I feel like it's me. If you said to me, you need to do this assignment, that's what I would have wrote. And she wrote that and I'm like, the fact I've never met her and she knows exactly what we tried to do with that one particular episode, she was able to summarise it. And with this other episode, as a comparison, done the exact same thing. I'm like, it's like she recorded the episode with us, but she was aware. And I'm thinking like, she has to present that to her like lecturers or professor or whatever. And that's us.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then when I responded in the email, she was like, thanks for the response. Now I can say that I was in contact with the content creators and all. I was like,
and Terrence, did you reply?
No, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it.
I don't see emails.
I FaceTime people, Georgie. Yeah. That's all. The only way you'll get in contact with me is a FaceTime.
Well, so. I'd be looking forward to a FaceTime from you.
Yeah. You'll get one when I'll bring you at 3 o'clock in the morning. What was that episode like, Georgie? I'll keep it half warm, I'm telling you.
Well, something that I always say on the Good Glow and in the business is these are the good old days. Like I always say it to Jamie. I'm like, we're in the days that we'll look back on in 20 years and say, oh, they were the good old days.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining me today on the Good Glow. I love you both so much.
We love you, Georgie.
Privilege to come on, Georgie.
I'll be waiting for an invitation for Sunday dinner. Welcome
to the gaff. Meet the dog and all, yeah.
What's your dog's name?
Kilsey. Because I got it when I come back from Kilsadesi.
Yeah.
So you got a dog, not a tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks a million and...
No
really
problem, Georgie.
Thanks very much, Georgie. Thank anytime.
Thanks. That's it.
That's it.
Boom.
A huge thank you to Calvin and Terrence for
that very important episode. I learned so much. I also laughed so much. I have to say, their sense of humor has me doubled over sometimes when I'm out for a run listening to their podcast. They absolutely crack me up. A huge thanks to Electrocell for all the support this season. And our latest Team Good Glow trip, half marathon trip to Rome in October, has sold out. We are so excited to take Team Good Glow on our next adventure. So the finish line for this half marathon is at the Colosseum. Imagine running towards the Colosseum and crossing that finish line and getting your picture taken outside. It's just an epic run, and we are so excited to take Team Good Glow with us to Rome. We have lots of Good Glow parties over there, shakeout runs. Our training starts in May. It's a 5-month lead up to the race, and we'll all set off together and run that half marathon together in October. If you are interested in joining the waitlist for this trip, we are trying to get more passes. Just drop me a DM on Instagram. I'll leave you a link in the show notes if you would like to join our Team Good Glow trip to Rome. I'll see you next week.